premise that I was trying to sustain yesterday was that the formation of Adas Yisrael, which is such an important theme of Sefer Shmos, is actually rooted in Lekichas Korban Pesach. We, as always, you know, methodologically, we try to develop this from the Mikra itself. Daber El Kol Adas Yisrael Be'asor LaChodesh Hazeh V'Yikchu Lahem Ish Selavei Savos Sela Bayis. And then we saw various indications in Chazal, some of which, you know, downplayed the Lekicha itself as really just the Tanai to get to, or even a Hechsher, as Ephraim said yesterday, to get to the Shmira, V'ayalacham the Mishmeres. But we thought that, you know, that's a few psukim away, right? V'ayalacham the Mishmeres Adar Ba'asar Yom. And so even though the Mechilta does, you know, give that indication that, you know, the Jews were Arum Min HaMitzvos, and there's just no way that the Geula could have happened, you know, with such, you know, a spiritual desiccation, that nonetheless, Lekicha, even in that view, is still a critical Hechsher. You know, it's, you know, like the Yerushalmi says, you know, maybe, you know, building a sukkah really is a Hechsher, but you would still make a Shachianu on it. Sometimes a Hechsher itself can be important. But the Psikta, you know, really, by quoting the Mishchu Kichu, a later Pasuk, emphasizes in its double language, Mishichas Korban Pesach, Lekichas Korban Pesach, as vital. We didn't deny that the Shechita of that Korban Pesach is taking things to a more amplified state, and that turns the Adas Yisrael into Kahal Adas Yisrael. Now it has what we call that vector quality to it, where it's, you know, directed in a towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we use this to explain something that bothered the Beis Yosef very much. So in brief, the tour had noted that the, you know, Shabbos HaGadol is called HaGadol because of the Nes Gadol, that the Egyptians ought to have annihilated the Jews when they saw that they took the Seh, and they were Kohen Es Shineihem, they were grinding their teeth, but lo hayu rishayim lo marlhem davar. They were rendered, you know, inept, inert, and completely non-reactive to a situation about which Moshe Rabbeinu himself had said it could only lead to violence. Hein nisbach es toavas Mitzrayim leinehem velo yiskalunu. So the Beis Yosef says, interesting. You know, there is a different tradition about what the nes was. We thought this was in itself very significant. What was the other tradition? The Makim Mitzrayim Bivchoreihem, that there was a civil war that ensued after Lekichas Korban Pesach, that the Bechorei Mitzrayim attacked the rest of the Egyptian nation. We thought that was helpful for our purposes because it contrasted the disintegration of the Egyptian society with the formation of Adas Yisrael, and we left it there. So the Beis Yosef's question was, Natan will just remind us, he says, if it's really all about the annihilation of the what should have been the annihilation of the Jews, so then
why is the Kippah itself so important?
Right. Why do we really care about the 10th or the 11th or the 12th or the 13th? They're all equal days, and I made, you know, a quip. I wouldn't say it was facetious, but I made a quip. You know, maybe it should be like Hanukkah. Maybe it's like Mosif HaHolech. Maybe the Nes gets greater each day. They don't do something. So the Beis Yosef, you know, said that, oh, well, you know, Kevan de Dashu, that the initial, you know, lack of reaction, that's sort of the most impressive feature. So I said, okay, but I think maybe we could say something conceptually just a little bit more compelling. So for this, we relied heavily on a medrash that's quoted by the Bach, Lehalacha, about Shabbos HaGadol, where the issue wasn't really that we took the Egyptian god, but what were we doing? Avraham Yaakov, go ahead. What's that? Exactly. That we were deeply ensconced in Egyptian Avodah Zarah, as the Rambam notes in Hilchos Avodah Zarah Perek Aleph, that the plant that Avraham Avinu had planted, Kimat V'ne'ekar, you know, in Egypt, O Hanisalo Kimma Vola Kachas Lo Goy Mikarev Goy, that we were totally assimilated. And the Egyptians, what they would have been reacting to, he uses the same language of, you know, the Kihoi Shinehem, very important language for our purposes. That was like the linchpin. We'll get to that in a second. And the reason that the Egyptians were so horrified is because until the day before, their culture, their paganism, their pantheon had been, you know, very good for us, you know, good enough for us. as it was for them. They said, oh, if that's true, that's a perfect answer to the Beis Yosef's question, because what it's not about is, it's not about the Jews sticking it to the Egyptians. What it's about is the Jews being willing to define themselves as part of Adas Yisrael and not part of the Egyptian culture. And we said, but of course, that wasn't a universal phenomenon. V'chamushim alu b'nei Yisrael me'aretz Mitzrayim. Four deos. Rashi, of course, quotes only the most optimistic one, that it was 1 out of 5, but it could have just as well been 1 out of 50, or 1 out of 500, or 1 out of 5,000. Moreover, right, this appears to be what the Baal Haggadah thinks that the story of the Rasha is all about. Ma'avuda zos lachem. It's not lachem v'lo lo in terms of its withdrawing from the tzibur into a neutral space, but what he's really saying is, you know, why isn't Egyptian paganism good enough for you as it is for us, and as it, you know, it always has been. And so afata hakeyes shinav, you put him in the same parsha as the Egyptians, you know, themselves. You treat him like you would treat an Egyptian. The language of afata hakeyes shinav is so, evocative, and it appears only in the context of the Egyptian reaction to the lekichas seh biyud nisan. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan, I think, relates to this point in a particularly beautiful way, responding to the second question that all the Rishonim ask about Lekichas Karban Pesach and Shabbos HaGadol, which is, you know, if it really is the 10th of Nisan, because that was the first day, so why do we always make sure to remember it on Shabbos? So, you know, the Aruch HaShulchan says, because Shabbos and Pesach are deeply integrated, we know that, Mimacharas HaShabbos, right? And he says, well, let's just put it onto the record anyway. Yenison, go ahead.
Right. It's a testification to what's called to the belovedness of Israel to God.
Right. Well, hashgacha on providence, and in particular on God's, you know, love for the Jewish people. Here, not, by the way, Chibas Yisrael is not in the sense of Rashi from the previous sugya of the individual Jew, but the collective, right? Right, so you believe that God created the world and then he retired to Arizona, in other words, deism, that's Lavklum, and you don't believe that God created the world, but he burst onto the scene, you know, that's also Lavklum, right? Both of those will render you a min. As is recorded in the Didi, Dayenu, right?
Before.
That comes before Kirvan of the Thayar Sinai, right? It's you know, Flumdus, you know, Mara.
Before giving to us an Advan Torah, Kish Pesach Kechor B'Shabbos. Shabbos Kechor L'Pesach. It's a requirement. Shabbos is a requirement for Pesach. Pesach is a requirement for Shabbos. Kichach Shabbos is then Nikra HaGadol. It's called Gadol. It's Gadol HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalvat Kedush Oedum. It's Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Baruch HaKadosh.
So it's not the Nes Gadol. Gadol is not a modifying term regarding a miracle, but it's actually a modifying term on, you know, Hashem. Excellent.
He is himself is the only renewer of the world. So literally, and we ourselves are also Nes Gadol. Because we were chosen from all the any other ham. This is the true reason why this Shabbos is called
Gadol. So I want to extract two of the Aruch HaShulchan's ideas, but to take them in the direction that I'm suggesting. So I think it's absolutely right to think about Shabbos HaGadol as a day of Kiddush Hashem, this Gadol Shmo Shel Kiddush Baruch Hu. That was part of the interface with the previous sugya that I had alluded to a few days ago. And I also think it's absolutely correct to speak about it in terms of Gadol Shabo Nisgadalnu, that it was a time when we were elevated. But I would put it in different terms. The reason, as I suggested at the very end of Shir yesterday, that I think we always mark this day on Shabbos, it originally happened on Shabbos, but you, for everything else, you always choose the calendar date, is because Shabbos is Gufa, the area that's Mechalek Ben Yisrael La'amim. Jews, of course, have a cardinal commitment to Shabbos. It's Shkula Kenegi Kol HaTorah Kula. And Akiva, it's not just that non-Jews don't have that, but they are disallowed. Exactly. So I think that the idea of the Hafrada ben Yisrael Amim, where we opted in to the Adas Yisrael, a term that, by the way, is very much a Shabbos term. Vayakel Moshe, it's called Adas B'nai Yisrael, and then of course he says, Sheshes Yamim Te'asem Lacha, Lo Sevaruesh B'chol Moshoseichem B'yom HaShabbos. Right? We note that the Shabbos and languages of Eidah in the Torah are almost ubiquitous. And so I think that remembering this day on Shabbos, when we, you know, again, we weren't observing Shabbos yet. It wasn't Mara, but it was like a pre-Shabbos. I think is very significant, because what it really is about is our emergence and differentiation from the majority culture, in this case, Egyptian paganism. If imkach, there's a minag, minag Yisrael that I wanted to probe for just a moment. Some of you, maybe by a show of hands you'll tell me, may have the minig of reciting from the Haggadah, Ad l'chaper al kol avinoseinu on Shabbos HaGadol. Anybody have such a minig here? So it's the minig haramah. It's most prevalent in those of Hasidish extraction. The Gra did not like it because of the Mechilta. The Mechilta says, Yachol me'rosh chodesh tam lomar bayomahu. So you didn't want anybody reciting the Haggadah, you know, before bayomahu. Just like I was actually just chatting with Rabbi Sobolovsky about this a little bit last Erev Shabbos. I was kibitzing with him about whether he'd be reciting the Haggadah. So he's like, it's like the Gra really thought, just like, you know, eating matzah early is like Boel Arusasu Bebeis Chamiv, you know, it's like citing the Haggadah early is like, you know, is like a formal Isser or something like that. It's a little hard to believe, I mean, that the Gra would have been so up in arms about it, because nobody thinks that you're actually, you know, being Mekayim the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Haraya, where do you stop? L'chaper al-kol v'noseinu, just before the line where Rav Gamliel says, you know, if you don't do this, you're not going to be Yotzei Yerchova. You know, kol mishlama shlosh advarim lo yatzi dechovaso. So the minhag seems to be pretty carefully tailored as it is, and yet the Vilna Gaon was still like, you know, not having it. But be that as it may, you know, and, you know, just to show you the intellectual honesty that drives me, you know, even though, of course, you know, my family tradition is like the Gra, I happen to think that the minhag haramah is extremely beautiful, right? Because if I'm correct in the overall presentation, that the lekichas haseh, right, biyom yud nisan, was the Rubicon, right? It was the defining moment. It was when we had to be mishchu yideicham yavodazara ukhu lachem seh shal mitzvah. If that's really true, so then from that point on, our geula, you know, using the standards of the Mechilta itself, that we had nothing, and then we had something very profound, because through the Lekicha Saseh, we were prepared, and we did effectively sever ourselves from Egyptian culture, so we were Reuyim LeGeula, and so what better way, in terms of Minhagei Yisrael, to capture that, than to say, and now, you know, let's tell the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's like we can't come to that day, so you can't even hold yourself back. Right? The very commemoration of that moment in time when we, you know, distinguished ourselves as Adas Yisrael from the Egyptians and their paganism, just like, you know, it leads to this sense of excitement and hitragshut that immediately translates into, you know, reciting the Haggadah. It almost triggers, you know, a Pesach in its own right. Then we have to wait, you know, another 4 days or 5 days or however the calendar falls out on a given year. But, you know, I don't think that this is one of those cases where we say, oh, do this in, you know, in advance, you know, so because it's, you know, we want you to be familiar with the liturgy. I think it actually reflects the status of the day. And I think the status of the day is confirmed by the only thing that happened on that day, namely Lekichas Haseh. We'll take some questions now. It's a natural stopping point. Then I wanted to try to give a message over to especially the graduating seniors that I think really relates deeply to this theme. But before we do that, let's take some questions. Yeah?
Just in terms of the idea from this Aruch HaShulchan, I understand that Avigam Anach, Gadalno,
right.
That part. But he says that the reason for us kind of being exalted was Shebach Arbanu Mikolam.
Right. So that's what I meant by extracting the idea but taking it in the opposite direction.
So we're, okay.
So I'm saying that I think that we were exalted, but because we chose.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So our whole mahalach is that the chaser is the mikon that after that beyond
I think from that point,
or if that's just the beginning point, then that's why it has.
I think it was more than just the beginning. I think that it was, you know, but not because, you know, it required us such courage they were going to kill us, but the reason that the Bach and, you know, the Mishchu Kechu Medrash says, because it forced us to say, am I an Oved Avodah Zarah or an Oved Hashem? Once you do the shechita, obviously it doesn't reach its, you know, it doesn't reach its apotheosis until the shechita. That's what I like to call the Kahal Adas Yisrael moment. It was amplified, but once you had the lakicha, I think that was the decisive moment. You had chosen.
I mean, my soul, the lakicha doesn't can after the lakicha, you can't directly still hold it as an avodah zarah. Meaning, lakicha for me is just the beginning of the process, the what's called being of a desert amongst yourself. The Shechita is the point beyond the return. That's the, as you said, the apotheosis. But theoretically, if you did still do Lechicha without the Shechita, you could still have that desert. Lechicha didn't really remove the aspect of
I think it would be very hard because Lechicha was Lashem Pesach. We don't have any, you know, evidence, you know, either in Mikra or in Torah Baal Peh that somebody would have done the Lechicha, you know, and then, you know, not done the Shechita. If you're asking, is it a theoretical possibility, I think the answer is sure.
Also, according to the Bach, he says that it's Mishchu Yedecha Me'avodah Zarah, Kulachan Tzon Shal Mitzvah, basically Tachma, that the Tzon that you're taking is not still a Tzon of Avodah Zarah.
I know, like, you could call something a L'shem Mitzvah, you could do everything you want, but
I'm totally prepared to concede that point. Yeah. Okay. So one hayara, and then the, you know, the message, so to speak, you know, like what it is that we're trying to get at here. So you know, the hayara is the following, right? We know that the Gemara in Pesachim that we started with on Sadi Vav says this is, of course, you know, the hallmark of Pesach Mitzrayim. We don't reenact this on an annual basis. But what did that Gemara equally point out is that it's not as if the echoes of this aren't found anywhere in halacha, but the Karban Tamid, right? The very idea of the Avodas HaMikdash, you know, there are certain foundational things. The Avodas HaMikdash is rooted in a number of events. One of them, of course, is the Akedah, the Makom itself. Shema Makom Ahu Hashem Yireh Asher Yehamer Hayom Shara Hashem Yireh. I would argue that the original Karban Pesach, the Pesach Mitzrayim, had more of an impact on the structure of Korbanos than perhaps any other single Korban, right? Because it's the Pesach Mitzrayim, not the Pesach Doros, but it's the Pesach Mitzrayim that feeds into the Dalad Yamim Shel Karban Tamid. The Karban Tamid is, of course, the basis of the Mikdash. We mourn not just the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but separate and apart from that, the Bittul Tamid is itself something to mourn. You know, Sakeves Echa Ta'ase V'Boker, V'Sakeves HaSheni Ta'ase Bein HaArbayim. All of that was triggered by Pesach Mitzrayim. It's hard for me not to think about, you know, the ongoing functioning of the Beis HaMikdash, sense of Tamid, is a daily reiteration of that choice of being Ovdei Hashem, shechting specifically what? The keves, right? The very animal itself is the same animal that Hashem told us to take in the sands of Egypt. Set Hamim Zachar Ben Shana. So when you take that Set Hamim Zachar Ben Shana on a daily basis, you can't help but think of that original. Yeah, go ahead.
Like, I don't think it's a coincidence. After the Sigrid.
I don't think so either. I think it's a very striking parallel. And so I think the echoes of this continue to be felt in the Mikdash per se. And so Pesach Mitzrayim, even though it was very much sui generis, we never repeated the Agudas Ezov and the Avodas Hadam in exactly the same way. I think it does continue to reverberate for us. B'chol dor v'dor chayav adam liros es atzmo ki ilu yatza mimitzrayim. So what Chazal understood was that the transmission and the continuity of our Masorah heavily depended on not just remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim, Zachar Sayom Azah Asher Yitzias Mitzrayim Beis Avadim, not even just telling the story, V'gat Levincha Bayom Ahu Leimor, but something more ambitious. B'chol Dor V'Dor, Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki Ilu Hu Yatzam Mitzrayim. What exactly is that about? So I would suggest it's precisely the point that we're trying to develop. A person has to understand the choice that was faced in that generation. Try to, as much as possible, to re-experience that. Where V'chulahem Ish Selah V'Savo Selah Bayis meant turning your back on an alluring, attractive, powerful culture, powerful in both the economic sense of the term, the political sense of the term, the aesthetic sense of the term. It's a very compelling, attractive culture, and doing something that puts you in a highly countercultural position. Slaughtering the very deity of the Egyptians, which had become part of the Jewish way of life, sadly. B'chol dor v'dor, we're called upon, of course, you know, to make the same choice. Chazal understood that in every generation, there would be a powerful culture, a powerful majority culture. And that, you know, always in historical retrospect, never gets its due. You know, people today, you know, make a mockery. Oh, who would, you know, really think of being, you know, a committed communist? But if you lived, you know, in the Pale of Settlement, you know, at the turn of the 20th century, you know, it didn't seem that crazy altogether. And the same thing is true about the Enlightenment, and the same thing is true about Roman culture, and the same thing is certainly true of Hellenist culture, and the same thing was true of Egyptian culture. And hard as it is for us to see it, the same thing is true today. You know, it wasn't that people, like, you know, had low IQ in North Carolina in 1840, and, like, you know, everybody just happened to think that it was perfectly okay to subject, you know, abducted Africans to chattel slavery. Right, you look at that today, and you know, you think, "Oh my God!" You know, who could imagine doing such a thing? And yet, culture is an extremely powerful force. And as Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, Perek Yavav, Halacha Aleph, Derech Briyaso Shel Adam, it's built into our very fabric to take the hanachot, the basic assumptions of society around us, and for that to shape the contours of what we think of as moral and ethical and appropriate. That itself was an experience that we had to have if we wanted to. And again, not everybody did. And according to the various, you know, statements in Chazal, maybe only a small fraction actually did, if we wanted to leave Egypt. Now, in this yeshiva, certainly in this year, in this yeshiva, what we've, I think, tried to give you are the terms, are the bases upon which we make those choices. We're not rejectionists, and we're not isolationists. We believe very strongly, and we've tried to transmit to you a sense of Ezeu Chacham Halomed Mikol Adam, a sense of Chachma Bagayim Ta'amein, a sense of all that there is to be learned and to be gained and to appreciate from all of the people around us. And at the same time, as we have asserted and, you know, demanded much of you in that area, many hours during the day, and of course you know, of assignments as well. Chachma bagayim ta'amein, Torah bagayim al ta'amein. The hafrada and the sense of embracing that which is there, that which ought to be embraced. V'nivrechu v'cha kol mishpechos adama v'zaracha, serving as a conduit of blessing to the entire world. And yet when it comes to our own internal matters, you know, our own avoda, in the narrow sense of the term, marching to you know, our own drum and being moved by internal considerations. This, of course, was and remains one of the Rav's greatest contributions and one of his most salient messages for us. The words that you have, which many of you have seen already, were written well over half a century ago in the context of a very powerful cultural movement of the 1960s. As you're all aware, the Catholic Church was undergoing a massive internal reformation, reconsideration of doctrine and dogma that had been held in some cases for 1700 years. Okay? As probing and as far-reaching a search as any faith tradition could really undergo. Could you imagine if Yahadus was holding a referendum on the Mishnah? It's, you know, inconceivable. That's what it was. And there was a strong pull at that time for a quid pro quo, that we're prepared to reconsider certain basic assumptions, certain basic positions that we hold vis-a-vis your faith community, namely Yahadus, but we'd like to see some movement in the other direction. And plenty from our own ranks were, you know, interested in the offer and, you know, considering it. And the Rav, you know, who bestrode Klal Yisrael as the gadol that he was, you know, came to, and this is the mark of an Adam Gadol, really. So he came to the you know, defense of the community with words that were at once very specific to a particular generation, but Nikarim Divrei Emes, that resonate, like I say, L'dorei Doros. This text will be read in 500 years. It continues the basic truth of the Rav's position transcends a historical circumstance, which is why we could talk about it today, having nothing to do with Vatican II, and having everything to do with, you know, you guys about to, you know, graduate high school. And here, you know, the Rav Kedarko looked to models in Mikra, particularly Avram Avinu and Yaakov Avinu, with an attempt to try to get at, you know, what is lakichas haseh, if I could use my own language, when do we simply have to reject? Mishchu yadechem from me'avodah zarah. Reject, separate, close out, you know, certain ideas, certain practices around us, whether it's Egyptian paganism, you know, to this, you know, to modern day relativism and everything that happened in between. And where can we say, you know, this is perfectly consistent with our values, and not only are we happy to participate, but we feel, and this is a nuance, obligated to do so, okay? These are very important questions. Thus said the Rav, we are both realists and dreamers, prudent and practical on the one hand, visionaries and idealists on the other. We are indeed involved in the cultural endeavor, and yet we are committed to another dimension of experience. Our first patriarch, Avram, already introduced himself in the following words, Ger v'toshav anochi machem. Is it possible to be both at the same time? Is not this definition absurd, since it contravenes the central principle of classical logic that no cognitive judgment may contain two mutually exclusive terms? And yet, the Jew of old defied this time-honored principle and did think of himself in contradictory terms. He knew well in what areas he could extend his full cooperation to his neighbors and act as a toshav, sojourner, and at what point this gesture of cooperation and goodwill should terminate and he must disengage as if he were a stranger, ger. He knew in what enterprise to participate to the best of his ability, and what offers and suggestions, however attractive and tempting, here you can see him alluding to the quid pro quo being offered in the context of Vatican II, you give a little, we'll give a little, we'll all be happy, to reject resolutely. He was aware of the issues of which on which he could compromise, of the nature of the goods he could surrender, and vice versa, of the principles which were not negotiable, and the spiritual goods which had to be defended at no matter what cost. And I would add, apropos our previous sugya, even to the point of Yehareg Vel Yavor. The boundary line between a finite idea and a principle nurtured by infinity, transient possessions and eternal treasures, was clear and precise. Yaakov, this is the less oft quoted part of this section, but it's just equally beautiful, right? Yaakov is now coming back from 20 years in the house of Lavan. He's about to encounter Esav. And remember, he tells his malachim, you know, that they're going to be asked three questions. So that's the basis of the Rav's beautiful words. Yaakov, in his instructions to his agents, laid down the rule. When Esav, my brother, meeteth thee and asketh thee, saying, my brother Esav, Yaakov told his agents, will address to you three questions. Whose art thou? To whom do you, as a medical being, as a soul, as a spiritual personality, belong? La'ana teleich, whither goest thou? To whom is your historical destiny committed? To whom have you consecrated your future? What is your ultimate goal, your final objective? Who is your God? What is your way of life? These two inquiries are related to your identity as members of a covenantal community. However, Yaakov continued, my brother Esav will ask a third question. Ulemi elu lefanecha. That was a reference to the mincha, right? The many animals, the earthly possessions. Are you ready to contribute your talents, capabilities, and efforts towards the material and cultural welfare of a general society? Are you ready to present me with gifts, oxen, goats, camels, and bulls? Are you willing to pay taxes to develop and industrialize the country? Yishuv l'shalolam, essentially. The third inquiry is focused on temporal aspects of life. As regards the third question, Yaakov told his malachim to answer in the positive. Mincha hi shalucha la'adoni le'esav. Yes. We're prepared to hand it over. Yes, we're determined to participate in every civic, scientific, political enterprise. We feel obligated to enrich society with our creative talents and be constructive and useful. Yet pertaining to the first two questions, Miata, Ve'ana Teleich, Yaakov commanded his representatives to reply in the negative, clearly and precisely, boldly and courageously. He commanded them to tell Esav that their soul, their personality, their metaphysical destiny, their spiritual future, their sacred commitments belong exclusively to God and his servant Yaakov. La'avdecha li'Yaakov is the first part of the answer. And no human power can succeed in severing the eternal bond between them and God. And so, we've sought to prepare you. We wish very much for all of you to make contributions to general society in every scientific, civic, social, and political manner. It's not, you know, just about being able to support your family and earn a parnasa, as significant as that is, and that is assuredly very significant. But it goes beyond that. It goes to the question of what is our purpose here, and yeshuvo shalolam, and contributing to the overall advancement of Tzelem Elokim, is not just an option or a heter, but it's a mandate in its own right, and we expect that from each and every one of you. But at the same time, and that's where we contribute, and we contribute happily and heartily in every which way, out of a sense of true spiritual obligation, right? Meidach, when it comes to, again, matters that are of internal halachic consideration, matters that the Rav refers to as pertaining to the covenantal community, there we don't broker any kind of a compromise with general society around us. We don't look towards society in terms of directing internally what our halachic processes should be, or even what they can be. Ger v'toshav anochi machem. And so we've trained you doubly in that respect. We've trained you to be able to be faithful and loyal to our covenantal tradition, one that was born on the 10th of Nisan in the sands of Egypt. V'kulahem ish, selave savos, selabayis, mishchu k'chulachem tzon, l'mishmechoseichem. Of defining yourselves as outside of the general culture in that way. And you, my dear Talmidim, must be expert choosers. There are two extremes available to you, adopted by many of our beloved brothers and sisters, one of which is total assimilation and accommodation, and there we live with the ongoing tragedy of Anuva Chamushim B'nai Yisrael, outside of our own immediate circles, and none of us should be happy about this. The rates of attrition are not only staggering, but beyond tragic in their proportions. This is not a viable option for you. Me'idach, and I'm not comparing the two, but there are many problems as well. An El Al flight attendant is in a coma right now because a certain community, and again, it's only a fraction of the community, is so rejectionist of all the things that we really not only should be embracing but participating in, civic, scientific, and political enterprise, to the point where the level of ignorance translates into not even availing oneself of vaccination. And instead of v'nivrachu v'cha, kol mishpachos ha'adamo v'zaracha, something that's been our calling card since Avraham Avinu, you have a community that's unfortunately not spreading bracha, but sadly, tragically, in this case, the opposite. It's dangerous. We've tried to train you to be able to live very firmly in a timeless world, in a world of halacha that began, like I say, with Lekichas Aseh as the first gesture of mitzvah. It's a day that we remember. It's a day that has its own chalos. It may even trigger a Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim in its own right. And at the same time, to be able to understand Ezehu Chacham Halomed Mikol Adam in matters outside of the immediate ritual and halachic area, to not only be able to engage, but really to be able to contribute at the highest level to all of society around you. Never to be afraid of the things that go on when it comes to science, political, scientific enterprise, technological enterprise, political enterprise, all based on knowledge that we hope that you very much gained here. Those who say that our community is a failure are wrong, but they're not entirely incorrect in terms of a general sense of a waning within our community, of a sense that perhaps our community is not as vibrant or as impassioned as it can be or as it should be. And so we look to you as the next generation. We hope that we've inspired you with a sense of all that this community has to offer. Ger v'toshav anochi imachem, continuing the path that the Rav laid out in his own inimitable language, but recognizing that the Rav left the earthly scene in 1993. And if we are to be a vibrant and successful community, then we can't continue to rest on the glory of the past, but have to have young, talented, energetic, and impassioned representatives going forward to the future who know how to combine the world of Ger and Toshav, who know very well how to combine the world of Ezu Chacham Halomed Mikol Adam Mitzad Echad and Mitzad Sheni Mishchu Kechu, who know how to say with one voice La'avdecha Yaakov, but also understand Mincha Hishlucha L'Adoni L'Esav. You are those people. You, for me, represent that tikvah, that hope. For the graduating seniors, and don't worry, we'll have a second period shir. Shir, self-contained. Graduating seniors, it's been my real zechus, of course, to learn with you, but more than that, from you. And my bracha to you is that you'll be able to be ambassadors of this perspective, and be ambassadors to the world of everything that we try to instill in you here, and to go forward in particular on that basis, representing a model of Yahadus that I believe not to be a compromise in any which way, but the optimal expression of our universal mission, v'nivrichu v'cha kol mishpechos ha'adama v'zarecha, and our particular mission, v'yisem li segula mikol amim kili kol ha'aretz. Thank you.